From Harry Hurley Way and the World's Playground to the Broadcast Pioneers of Philadelphia Hall of Fame, you're about to find out why Harry Hurley has been named to the Talkers Magazine list of the 100 most important talk show hosts in the nation. Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Exactly 7 minutes past the hour. Welcome to the Hurley in the Morning program. As I tried to impress upon you yesterday, we're going to be filling in today a little bit later this morning and into the afternoon for Brian Kilmeade. So we're opening up right now with open forum. So I hope you will check in. It's the only open forum we have today. We have Chuck Malamut coming up in 1 hour. And then we do have the second half of Hurley in the Morning, but this is our only wide open forum this morning. So I hope that you will check in at 609-407-1450. Just to show you, when you make change, and I don't think anybody would argue that in just 2 weeks, 2 weeks today, I guess, if you look at the calendar, the amount of change that has taken place is breathtaking. I was looking at a list, and it's only a partial list, and it is just extraordinary. But this is not nearly complete. Mexico caved, Panama caved in, Colombia caved, Venezuela caved, Canada in all out panic, and now they have made a deal to buy 30 days, and let's see what happens there. Mass deportations, hostages are coming home. DEI programs ended. Bureaucracies are being absolutely pummeled and slashed. FBI purges underway. USAID, their funding altered, canceled, whatever you want to call it. Gender ideology eliminated. DOGE has already saved billions. 51 intel agents lost clearance, their security clearance. Border crossings have dropped in the first 10 days to 2 weeks by 93%. I understand the reservoirs are filled back up. The million-dollar or the million-gallon empty reservoir filled up in California. Just a few things. I mean, there are so many more. So elections, we talk about it all the time. They have consequences. You know what never ceases to amaze me? The crazy hills that Democrats decide to die on. You take this guy from Hawaii, Brian Schatz. Brian Schatz said that he's going to stall all President Trump State Department nominees until USAID is back. First of all, do these idiots ever do their homework? President Kennedy started this in 1961 by executive order, which means that President Trump can end it by executive order. Over the course of time, it was a good idea. Kennedy started something that veered off course wildly to the extent now that USAID does not believe that it's accountable to the United States. We fund it. We created it. It's literally like the Frankenstein monster. Or if you like Young Frankenstein, the Frankenstein monster with the abnormal brain. They spend our money to work against our interests. In what sane world is that something that you want to keep in place? So that's what this guy wants to bring back. Hey, look, you've got a person of action like Elon Musk, who might be the most powerful unelected citizen in history. I mean, he's just getting it done. if you don't believe he has extraordinary power, guess again. Thousands of USAID employees have been laid off. Programs have been shut down in the past 2 weeks. And it should be. And then guess what? Any of the good work, Marco Rubio is in charge. He has designated, because he's not there, he's designated someone to work on it. Rubio's had a busy week. I mean, he's all over the place. Central America, he's all over. And Schatz said he expects the judicial system to stop Musk's attempt to close down USAID. And let me tell you something. It happened to Trump before. An Obama executive order that President Trump stopped, a judge ordered it to be put back in place. I mean, that's never happened in history because it's stipulated. First of all, and I've told you this a really long time, years and years, I don't like this executive order stuff. Thankfully, I mean, when you have a country that veered so terribly wrong, it's helpful that President Trump can get a number of things done through executive action. But an executive order, unless it's extended by the next president, should die. And so you want to make permanent change. And only Democrats seem to be able to make executive change and then the courts uphold it. I can't remember what the executive order was with Obama. It might have had something to do with health care of some kind, but it was ordered put back, which that's never happened before. A lot going on. And we're going to take your phone calls at 609-407-1450. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. You are on the air.
Good morning, Harry. May God bless you and restore your body to good health. And let's go Eagles.
Oh, thank you, Paul. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. Yep. Good. I'm good as well. Appreciate the call very much. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for checking in. And interesting you would bring up Go Eagles, because I was inspired this morning, and in the 4 o'clock hour, I wrote an opinion piece titled something to the effect of Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts will finally get respect that he is due. If you think about it, he's won a lot of football games and really done a lot of really good things. And he happens to be a terrific person. In the 2023 year, not ancient history, he went back. He got his master's degree. Who does that? Jack Cittarelli? Who does that? So he had his college degree. He went back and he got his master's degree. And for some reason, Siri just launched on her own. And I don't think I said anything close to Siri. I told you, my phone is haunted. I ask for Siri and she doesn't answer. And then when I don't, she launches. I don't know if you have these things happen. Something weird happened when I got the iPhone 14. I haven't gotten the newer versions yet. I think there's maybe been one or two. It might be 16 now. I think I have, or maybe it's 18 and I have 16. I've had this for a couple of years now. But when I went to this version, the dictation got crappy. It was so good. The dictation was amazing, and I use it. I write letters with it. I mean, I do all kinds of things with the dictation. But now I do it, and there's just so many mistakes. It used to be perfect. How does technology get worse? I just wish There's certain times, and they messed up the photos too. The photos are not as convenient to maneuver, and I do a lot with photos, a ton. I take screen captures of photos. I take photos to use in articles that we write, and I mean, I can use it. It's not terrible, but and they make you do the updates. You know, there are people that don't do the updates. You will get to the point where your phone will not work. You have to do the updates. And then once you do the update, all of a sudden I saw the pictures. I was like, well, what's this? And it took a little bit of learning curve. I had to figure out, how does this work? And the old system was once again better. And it's not, trust me when I tell you, I love advancements in technology. It's not that you get used to what you had and you don't like the new. It's not as good. People will tell you in the radio business, the Adobe program, audio, it's like a running joke. I don't remember the version, but like version 2 or whatever it is, studios all over the country in radio don't install the newer version. It's not as good. It doesn't work as good. And I for the life of me, I know about planned obsolescence, making things to break. And then you used to have things that would break and you could fix them. Now they break and you throw them away. But why would you make an audio program that the older version is better than the newer version? And again, it's one of these many, they're not just a few, the many mysteries. All right, we are going to open up more phone calls right after this. Don't go away. You will be next, and you'll be right after that. Phone calls all this hour at 609-407-1450. It is the Hurley in the Morning program on a busy, busy day. You are stuck with me until 1 o'clock, and it's 18 minutes past 6. Here we go.
Hurley in the Morning.
They really do separate fact from fiction.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News commentary.
Democrats are furious over cuts to USAID, but waste, fraud, and abuse initiatives don't fit the mega agenda. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
ZipRecruiter is the place. ZipRecruiter is the place for talented teachers, savvy software developers, and master mixologists. ZipRecruiter is the place where you meet all these people and more. That's because ZipRecruiter is the place for job seekers who are looking for new opportunities. In fact, ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day, so you can find the right candidates right away. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
If there's one thing Democrats and grifters loved about Biden more than anything else, it was the blank check and the zero attention he paid to where our money was going. But that's over now. President Trump has cut off USAID until such a time comes that the fine print no longer includes things such as drag shows in Ecuador. But see, some of our Democrat friends love spending your money on stupid pet projects, so they staged a demonstration out of the USAID headquarters to show their displeasure. Many are also pointing their anger cannons at Elon Musk for doing exactly what Doge was created to do. I'm sure there are some worthwhile projects funded by USAID, but the thing is, there is so much on the government credit card, Trump has to cancel the card to stop the bleeding and start from scratch. These agencies have been operating as unchecked global money cannons, and you, the American taxpayers, deserve better. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
You're waking up with Hurley in the Morning. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Hurley in the Morning.
Not only the news, but perspective too.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you. Welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open, 609-407-1450. Welcome. You are on the air. Hi there.
Good morning, Harry. It's a great day in the city of Brigantine.
Great.
I should say go Elksus. I think Paul got it wrong. Oh God! Well, we got a few things floating around today. Yeah, we're actually paying for atheism. We're paying for an LGBTQ opera in some godforsaken country. I mean, you know, where does this stuff end? I don't know if you caught Sweet Caroline yesterday afternoon. She whipped out a paper and read some of these things to the people asking questions.
I saw it. Fantastic.
Blew them out of the water. I don't know. A few other things floating around. Joe Biden has now inked a deal to try to get some stuff going in Hollywood like Obama did. I mean, this has to be Jill. It can't be Joe. It has to be Jill. She needs something to do.
Yes, that is very famous CAA, Creative Artists Agency. So Joe is going Hollywood.
Yeah, they could do a TV show about the Biden crime family and call it The Odd Cabal. That would be a good show. and how about Phil Murphy? He's got a migrant, quote, living in his house, and he says, come and get her.
Did you hear? The hero, Mike Heath, sent me a Twitter, well, X, formerly Twitter, tweet that Border Czar Tom Homan says he plans on going after New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, who taunted the Trump administration when he revealed that he was housing an illegal immigrant. You realize that is a crime punishable up to 5 years in jail. Now, he wouldn't get that, but it is punishable to that extent. I really like Governor Murphy a lot. I was surprised he said that.
Well, you know, Harry, there's this debate going on that shouldn't be a debate at all. They keep trying to make the point that these people aren't criminals until they've committed some crime once they're here. But as you've stated, I've stated, you mentioned they've broken at least three laws just coming here. They're felons the minute they set foot on American soil.
Correct.
Or am I wrong?
You are not wrong.
Okay. So as far as I know, it is against the law to harbor a criminal. and he's doing it blatantly because, again, this liberal mindset is, well, they're not criminals because they didn't commit a crime, you know, once they got here. I don't want to hear this. And again, Sweet Caroline's been very clear on you're a criminal the minute you set foot in the country. Something else that's interesting, yesterday, how about two more, flinches from the Mexican president and the, and Trudeau? When is he out, actually, Trudeau? When is he gone?
As soon as they have the election. He's probably going to be in, I think it was like 6 months from when that was announced. So probably four or so months from now.
Right, right. I heard another interesting thing on Red Eye Radio. I don't know if you've heard this or if you've gotten into this, but they did the math and they said if President Trump imposed a 25% tariff on every country with which we do trade, it would raise only $875 billion, and our just the interest on our debt each year is $1.2 trillion. So all the tariffs combined wouldn't even begin to fund any of the things that are necessary in the country. It wouldn't even pay.
Yeah. So in other words, it supports my doctrine, my theory that it's a negotiating tactic for President Trump, because while it's peanuts, to quote one of your favorite people, you know, if I had it, you could have it, a bag of peanut, you know, bag of shells. So it is a lot to the countries that Trump threatens with it, but it's no big deal for us. So he's obviously not doing it for what some people think it's all about. It's negotiating tactics.
Exactly. And I was sitting with a friend yesterday when all this was going on and when Trudeau flinched, and well, the Mexican president flinched early in the morning. But I said to her, I said, you don't understand. President Trump aims 150% higher than he has to for something that he wants, knowing that he'll eventually get what he really wanted in the first place. This is the art of the deal. This is what they don't get about this man. And, you know, Schumer out there holding yesterday, holding up a can of Corona and then an avocado. I mean, you know, oh, the cost of your Super Bowl party. We talked about this yesterday. If the tariffs were to go into effect, it would cost the American household $1,200 more per year. Well, Biden's the stuff that Biden did that caused inflation to skyrocket, it's costing the average American household $1,400 a month. Mm-hmm. And what did Biden do the first day he got into office was he stopped all domestic oil production, which immediately raises the cost of fuel, which immediately raises the cost of everything you buy. So, you know, Trump, drill baby drill, you know, it's been 2 weeks. They're on this man like, oh, we're not seeing prices come down yet. I mean, give me a break.
Exactly. He's never going to be given a break. He'll never be treated fair. The media, if you look at them now, they're doing all the same stuff they did before. The rabid frothing, you know, the questions can't come out fast enough. President Trump has been doing almost on a daily basis, just letting the media in to the Oval Office. And he just does what he's doing. And at the same time, he answers their questions for like an hour or more. Joe Biden couldn't do that. Who was it that spilled the beans? Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy went into the Oval Office with Biden and the other Democrat leaders in the legislature, and he witnessed Biden doing everything by the note cards. He couldn't deviate. McCarthy intentionally steered off of the note cards because he just started doing things that he knew that Biden wouldn't have, you know, because they didn't know he was doing it. So he couldn't possibly have the prepared things. And Kevin McCarthy was one of the first to come out and say that Joe Biden has a mental acuity problem, that he cannot conduct a meeting unless it's written on the cue cards.
Yeah, I saw him talking about that.
By the way, how dangerous, you know, I've been saying it for the whole 4 years of Biden, but think about how dangerous that was, that the Democrat legacy media, they were so happy that Trump was gone that they accepted and perpetrated this fraud upon the American people. Now, it's not to say we got out unscathed because, you know, the 13 killed and others that were killed in Afghanistan and all the other things that happened. Think about all the death on Biden's hands. Every Ukrainian, every Russian, that would have never gone on if Biden didn't become president. So that's hundreds of thousands of people dead. Biden was just a disaster for this country and the world.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of the things aren't really going to be realized for years. I think it's going to take years to recover from the damage that he has done to the world. You know, one last thing, Harry, I know you got to go. This DNC, and, you know, I saw that big to do and how we've got to have so many men and so many women.
And on this round, you can have one man and one woman and one gender. I forget what they call it when it's not specified. I don't know what they said. And then, no, it's two and two, but no, it has to be. They brought someone to clarify, and then she didn't know how to clarify it. That's how mixed up they are.
It's a non-binary might be the word you're looking for. But Harry, listen, let these people continue to do what they're doing. You know, the expression in politics, you never interrupt your enemy when he's in the process of committing suicide. I'm watching them out there, Ilhan Omar. They've gotten off
the dictator. She said, these are the beginnings of a dictator. Oh, really? Just like working, getting things done, getting illegals out of our country? I mean, these are the workings of a dictator?
Yeah, that's the new word now. It's no more Hitler. It's now dictator.
Right. And Trump and Musk.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? I'm proud to have voted for a dictator.
Yes.
And you mentioned Elon Musk being the most powerful non-elected official. Harry, I mean, how many people were non-elected during Biden that did damage?
Yeah.
I mean, these people that were put in charge of these different things. I'll tell you who the most powerful unelected person is on the planet. It's usually the Fed chair when you think about it.
That's big. Also, Ron Klain, the prime minister, was very powerful.
Exactly.
Yeah, there were a lot. But Musk is at a totally different level, though. I mean, he's getting into the Treasury departments, and I mean, he's at a level we've never seen before. Andy, have a great day, because it is a great day in Brigantine. When we come back, you will be next. Please don't go away. It is the Hurley in the Morning program.
This is the Town Square, New Jersey Info and Weather Network.
Thank you. 34 minutes past the hour. Harry Hurley, three stories that you can follow on our WPG Talk Radio 95.5 app. An allegation by John Devlin about Marty Small. Check that out. My opinion editorial on Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Jalen Dew, who this Sunday will finally get the respect that he's due. And Philadelphia and New Jersey legends of television that we loved when growing up. It's all on the app. Back to your calls, 609-407.
From the Town Square, New Jersey Info and Weather Network, I'm Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow. Today's a big transition day. As a cold front kicks up a brisk wind and send temperatures tumbling through the afternoon, I think we'll see about 47 by midday today with mostly sunny skies and that cold wind. Increasing clouds tonight and cold temperatures low at 24. Cloudy skies tomorrow, high only 35, with a chance of a snow shower at any time. Snow to icy mix tomorrow night. Get weather 24/7 wherever you are. Download our free mobile app today.
Hurley in the Morning. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. You're waking up with Hurley in the Morning.
Established, reputable.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
All right, I took a peek at the weather, and I'll tell you why I did that. I never countermand, I never contradict Dan Zarrow. He's our chief meteorologist for Town Square Media. But he's got a very, very tough job, though, because he's doing a forecast basically for the entire state, which he does tailor and say, but in the southern part, you know, it won't be as much if there's going to be snow and things like that. But sometimes you get the general forecast, and there is no snow that I see in our neck of the woods. Today, 5% chance of precipitation. Tonight, 1% chance of precipitation. And we're not looking too bad. It is going to get windy today, and we'll hit a high of 51 in the metro market here. But then temperatures will fall to near 40 during the day, and the winds, as Dan said, do indeed pick up northwest at 20 to 30 miles an hour and occasional gusts over 40 miles an hour. Then tonight, it'll be 27 for the low, but the winds are in the 5 to 8 mile an hour range, so not bad at all. Then on Wednesday, there's only a 16% chance of precipitation. The high will only be 35 tomorrow. I'll tell you, it was nice. It was 45 when I walked out the door this morning. It was nice. 29 will be the low tomorrow. And again, only a 16% chance of precipitation. So if it happens, It's against what I'm looking at right now, which, I wish I had my weather underground, but it was scooped up to shut it down because it was too good. but good for them. They must have made a lot of money selling it. I loved it. It was the most reliable. It would tell me that it's going to rain in the next 5 minutes, and it would happen. It was just remarkable. And minute by minute, it would tell you, you know, what's going on. It would tell you when rain is going to stop, and then it would stop. I mean, honestly, I don't even know how they did it, but it always worked. And I remember saying, like everything I like, what happens? It goes away. That was a tough one, though, to take when I found out that literally it was being purchased to shut it down. Look, you can do that. It's a great country. You can do that kind of thing, but it's a shame. My phone is so packed with stuff that I really need the space, but I've kept it. It doesn't work. It's deactivated, but I still have the link on my phone to Weather Underground. I can't remember. I learned about it. I guess I learned about it from one of my children. And then I just swore by it for our golf tournament, for when we go away anywhere. And it's never, ever been wrong, which is uncanny. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. Why stop with one illegal alien? Oop, my buddy, undocumented migrant. You know, Murphy can actually house and feed 1,000 migrants for about a year, and he'd still be a multimillionaire, I'll bet you.
Oh, no, he's very well-to-do. I wonder what's going to happen, though, because that was not smart. He is a smart man. He called out and said, and try to come and, you know, he called out ICE and, you know, it just was not a smart thing to do, especially when this administration isn't, you know, it's like marijuana. If the federal government ever decided to just crush all these states, if you ever got an attorney general, and it could happen, anybody that's handled money in a transaction of it, that's opened up a dispensary that, you know, buys the product. If the federal government ever wants to enforce federal law, they can. You can't say, oh, no, you can't do that. You didn't before. No, well, we are now. So it's illegal to harbor an illegal. And then when you admit it out loud, I was shocked. And nothing that's unfolded, the Tom Holman quote, all of that, I predicted it. Because this administration is extremely aggressive. I mean, literally, Murphy kind of said, like, what are you going to come, you know, I dare you to come to my home and see what happens. I mean, what do you mean see what happens? It's the law. If they want to come there, they're going to do it. Look, they raided Trump, didn't they?
Wow. Yes. I understand that President Trump is that put a 15% tariff on communist China, and they've retaliated. Well, he's just fighting fire with fire is what he's doing. And we need to have allies. We need to have economic alliances. You know, the G7 bloc of democracies, those seven countries, are not really – they don't dominate global exports. They're not really trade partners. What they do is they discuss economic global governance. Well, the fact of the matter is Australia is not – a G7 country, Japan is, but they've entered into an economic alliance. I've already mentioned that several times. And that's what's needed here because there's now 22 BRICS countries. There were five member countries, and then four more were added. Now there's a total of 22, and 17 are going to join by the end of this decade. So that's really what we're up against here. I don't know about, you know, annexing Canada and Greenland. I don't know. I think we got bigger fish to fry. We need to reestablish our constitutional republic before we start doing stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you what I would love. I'd love the focus to be let's go get control of the Panama Canal because that's really important. I mean, yes. That is a huge, huge amount of what we bring into this country and how much more it costs if you don't utilize the Panama Canal, the path that you would have to take. Very inconvenient and expensive. And then I want Bagram Air Force Base back. Get it back.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I'm 100% for Yes, Bagram Air Force Base over to Afghanistan, right?
Yes.
And also, yes, and also the Panama Canal.
Yes.
That was built with American blood and treasure. That's very important to America's survival and our, you know, economic outlook, you know, for us to be able to actually...
Flash, I heard, I mean, the money was one thing, and it was the most expensive project that America had ever done at the time, but President Trump, and I forget the number, but it was staggering, like 35,000. It was a huge number. We had a huge number of Americans die building the Panama Canal.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carter just gave it up.
Yeah. If anybody can't see that the Democrat Party is, it's more than just a mess. They're actually being used as a tool to destroy America.
It's largely true. And not all of them, but enough of them. And then you look at this Panama Canal, Marco Rubio confirmed 70% of all the signage at the Panama Canal was in Chinese.
That's right.
They just took total control.
Yes. Yes, they're making inroads into sub-Saharan Africa. They're actually gaining more and more control of Afghanistan after our botched departure under His piece of crap, Biden.
But, Flash, I got to run. On top of what you said about China and the additional 10% that Trump slapped on them, China slapped back and they put 15% levy on U.S. LNG, coal, 10% on crude and farm equipment. So, you know, they're striking back. And as I think everybody knows by now, President Trump, because he got 10,000 Mexican troops, and then Canada promised to do a certain number of things regarding border security. President Trump has paused the tariffs on Mexico and Canada for 1 month. We'll be back right after this. Thank you, Flash. You will be next right after the break. It is the Hurley in the Morning program.
You're waking up with Hurley in the Morning.
I'm from Mullica Township.
Great, Matt.
I'm from Margate.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. You're waking up with Hurley in the Morning.
It's well-balanced conversation.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Back to your calls in just a few seconds, and you can check in as well at 609-407-1450. It's our only open forum this morning. Chuck Malamut at a special time. In fact, he's probably minutes away. So Chuck will be here next hour, not in the 8 o'clock hour. We do have the second half of Hurley in the Morning coming up, but we'll be getting ready for guest hosting the Brian Kilmeade Show, which even though you hear the Brian Kilmeade Show from 10 to 1 here, Brian is really on from 9 to 12. So what we do here at WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and a lot of stations around the country, some stations don't even carry all 3 hours. You know, it's all a matter of, you know, the way that each individual station that's an affiliate with Fox News Radio programs their what you call your daily clock. And what we do, because we're on until 10:06 to be exact, Brian comes on with his live 10 o'clock hour, then the live 11 o'clock hour, and then what we hear in the 12 noon hour on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 is the 9 o'clock hour of Brian's show. So it's actually a few hours old. It's pre-recorded. It could be live, but we don't carry the first hour live. So that's how you do it. It makes sense, too. You could play the 9 at 10 and then the 10 at, you know, but why not have 2 hours that are live? So it's done exactly like it should be done in our particular case. So I'll be going live at 9 a.m. guest hosting Brian's program. So stay here and then you have me until 1 o'clock today straight through. And this portion of our program brought to us in part by Batteries Plus Bulbs. They have locations right here in Northfield, right next door to Broadcast Center, and in Marlton. Roy is the owner. He's there a lot. Scott and John are there all the time. And bring your phones in, any type of electronic item that you have. They are amazing at repairing things. You may have something that's absolutely repairable. Take it over there. Tell them I sent you, which so many of you have done, and I'm so grateful for that. And when you bring your iPhones in, they are certified by Apple to use all genuine Apple parts. So you're not getting, and they're good parts. There are a lot of places that do repairs and they're not genuine Apple, but they work. They're gonna have a little note that this is not original, like in your BIOS, it'll say that, and some of the things that are behind the scenes in your phone, but not at batteries plus bulbs, because they'll be putting the genuine Apple parts, screens and batteries and things like that. They do all that. Key fobs, ton of those. You can actually buy key fobs there that they'll program for your car. I saw that the other day when I was in. So they do a great job. They have fixed so many different items, and they have batteries and lighting and emergency type generators and things. It's a beautifully appointed, well-maintained, immaculate store. Right next door to Broadcast Center here in Northfield and in Marlton, batteries plus bulbs. Welcome to Hurley in the Morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Harry. Reporting from the far frontier. A couple of things, these Democrat conventions and mini conventions, I think they have to be, instead of being, they need a new name. They need to be known as the Party of Pronouns, because it seems to be it's all they care about. I mean, it's almost laughable.
Just watching them try to pick their three vice chair was one of the most embarrassing things that I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, they needed a pronoun referee, but I.
And even when they bring the referee in, the referee needs a referee on top of another marshal and on top of somebody else. It's so ridiculous that they can't even tell their members what the rules are. That's how tied up in knots they are now.
Yeah, did you see Caroline Leavitt reading the list
yes.
of U.S. AID,
yes, from outside the White House.
Yeah, but can somebody explain to me in Washington, in Congress, that who used to work for that AID outfit, why we are giving money for plays to countries like Ireland? I wouldn't care if the play was about that they love Trump. Why are we giving money for people to put on plays?
Well, here's what happened. We just give them the blanket money, and they have been operating as their own fiefdom. President Trump, and he deputized Marco Rubio to take care of it, that ends. So we're putting a stop to it. USAID no longer exists in its previous form.
But it's even when it did exist, it's still beyond me.
Well, no, here's what happened. It was mission creep. They strayed. President Kennedy had a really good idea. And they were supposed to help around the world, but help around the world with the philosophy of the United States of America. What this deteriorated into was a horrific organization that took our money and then used it to work against our own interests around the world.
Well,
it was Frankenstein.
Exactly. I mean, money for plays. Money for DEI in Serbian factories, money for trans education in Croatia. I mean, this has nothing to do with helping poor nations. This was all to propagate the ideas of the left in the United States, and he did the right thing by shutting them down.
Without a doubt. No question about it. Great to talk to you, Victor. Let me get in one more call. We're running out of time and open forum. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, gracious. Good morning, Harry.
Yes, sir.
I was just a little bit astonished that the pandering Governor Murphy decided to try to taunt anybody, that just like saying, well, look what I have and you can't, I dare you to come here. And the only thing is he's just pandering to position himself to try to become a candidate in the 2028.
I just don't understand why they die on these hills, though. Why is undocumented migrants, why is that? Well, we know because Democrats want them to become citizens and be able to vote or even vote as illegals. But I'm just amazed at their priorities.
Harry, here's something that it's right in front of everybody's face, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows that if you have a chance to work under the table and get money through the black market, which is another deviancy output of NGOs, nothing good occurs.
Yeah, it's true, and we are at the buzzer. Good to talk to you. We'll talk again. Chuck Malamut is next.
From Harry Hurley Way and the World's Playground to the Broadcast Pioneers of Philadelphia Hall of Fame, you're about to find out why Harry Hurley has been named to the Talkers Magazine list of the 100 most important talk show hosts in the nation. Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Thank you, Chuck Malamud, for coming in an hour early so that I can host the Brian Kilmeade Show today. It's our 33rd year together on air, 33rd and a half already, making it one of the longest. I say it is the longest, but I have to just say one of the longest because I just haven't bothered to prove it. One of the longest running weekly programs in New Jersey in American talk radio history, and that is Chuck Malamud with yours truly. Chuck Malamud is the managing director, leads his team, the Malamud Group, at Morgan Stanley's Northfield, New Jersey office for all of your financial planning needs. Simply call 609-383-2010. The following program is presented and sponsored by Chuck Malamud, a financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. The information, views, and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of Chuck Malamud and do not necessarily reflect those of Morgan Stanley or its affiliates. They are current as of the date of this broadcast and are subject to change without notice. Neither the information provided nor any opinion expressed herein constitutes a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security. This presentation is for informational purposes only. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, member SIPC. Chuck, before you do what you do best, I want to talk a little football, which you are also very, very good. You're very, very good at football prognostication, football prowess. You're laughing, but I'm, you know, just being honest here. Truth in broadcasting. We both have an opinion. We're allowed to have an opinion that the NFL, with respect to officiating and Kansas City Chiefs games, have really come under the microscope.
Morning, Harry. So I will tell you, this goes back several years, I think probably three. I remember watching Cincinnati on the road. I think it was against Kansas City.
You were incensed by that.
I was.
I
was outraged, yeah. By the, I mean, because Mahomes just flops and he gets away with it. But anyway, yeah, I mean, look, that game, obviously a very, very tight game. And the first, I think that there were two calls in particular. Worthy did not catch that ball, towards the, real close to the end zone. And that turned into 7 points.
Ball went straight down into the ground. It was amazing.
And then the marking after that fourth down that Josh Allen did get the first down.
Clearly.
They gave that to Kansas City, and then ultimately that turned into a score, and then Kansas City wins by field goal. So, I think that, Sunday should be very, very interesting. Obviously have the Eagles as a slight underdog, and I think that if the Eagles show up, which they will, and they play and they stick to their game plan, I think the three-peat is not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either, and I encourage our listeners, check out the article that I wrote this morning. It's an opinion editorial about Jalen Hurts, who I believe will finally get the respect that he has been due. Chuck, when you look at the body of work, the Eagles defeating the Packers, the Eagles defeating the Rams, the Eagles demolishing the Commanders, who had already beaten on the road the team with the best record in the NFC, Detroit, best record in the NFL even, Detroit, And also they beat Tampa Bay, who had been playing very, very well. And the Eagles demolished Washington.
Yeah, I think the Eagles' path, you know, certainly they have proven themselves. I mean, you know, Kansas City beats, I think they had a bye, right, the first
week? They had a bye.
They beat Houston.
Yes.
Pretty convincingly. But, you know, Houston did not have all their manpower. And then that, I don't want to say what I thought because it's talk radio and it's on the air. But the show on Sunday or two Sunday, you know, almost 2 weeks ago, I mean, it was they're good, but they're not great. I'll leave it at that. I mean, their season was they figured out ways to win, and that's correct. What it's all about.
With some help from their friends.
And, yeah, and there was a lot of – I mean, I think your brother might have posted something that there was – and let me get this right – in playoff games, roughing the passer, the opposing team got called 9 times, and the Chiefs got called 0 times.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable.
And I think there's a lot of people, you know, like us and like your listeners that are kind of outraged by the whole
The playoffs where Mahomes scrambled. And look, I'll give him his due. He is very good at that. But he scrambled and then he slid and two defenders hit each other.
Yeah.
And didn't even touch him, and he got the roughing.
Look, there was a call in the Houston game. Where they got called, where he was, you know, clearly in the pocket and went down, and but then two guys on top of him hit each other from Houston and they barely touched his shoulder and they got called for roughing the passer, and that turned into a score as well.
Yeah.
So they have their, I don't want to say they have the officials on their side. I think that might be a little unfair to make that statement, but clearly
a lot of people do though.
You know, it's interesting. I talked to a very astute football better, I guess is the best way to call it. And he spends a lot of time on this. And I said to him, who do you like? He goes, I, as much as I like the Eagles, I can't bet a game against Kansas City.
I heard a guy on Outkick this morning being interviewed by the Fox pregame show, Fox and Friends First. And he said the same thing. He said the Eagles are a better team. He said, but you can't bet against Kansas City.
Yeah, so it's
I think the Eagles are going to take the officiating out of play. They're going to win comfortably.
I mean, that would be nice to just see, you know, the dynasty get beat. I mean, you know, as much credit to Andy Reid, he's an exceptional coach.
But no doubt.
You know, I think we're all getting very tired of all the commercials.
Oh, yeah.
And the, you know, the stardom around, you know, as much as we love Jason Kelce, and he's done a great job. I mean, he took his career to a new level, you know, broadcasting, you know, the ESPN, ABC. And
the podcast.
I don't care for the brother.
No, I don't either. I can't stand him, actually. He just, everything he does is wrong. He just, all of it is just bad. Here's my theory why the Eagles are going to win. And then we'll get our quick first break and then we'll come back and do your show. The Eagles are going to win because if you look at 2 years ago when Kansas City won 38-35 and the Eagles won turnover, or the Eagles have that game. So this team has better cornerbacks, better defensive line, better offensive line. Jalen Hurts is better. Saquon Barkley is better. The receiving core with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. I mean, they're better in every respect. And they only lost to, and I say that, and again, I know this always comes off like it's a fanatic, just, you know, irrational, exuberant fanatic, but it's not. The Eagles are considerably upgraded from 2 years ago. And Kansas City is not as good as they were 2 years ago.
I think it was evident during the season. I mean, Kansas City, literally, they got by. I mean, they figured out, to their credit, they figured out how to win. And I agree with you. I think on, if you look position by position.
I'm going to reluctantly give Kansas City only two areas where they favor the Eagles. And it wouldn't have been that way if Jake Elliott hadn't gone like cuckoo in his head. Harrison Butker is better than Jake Elliott right now. And I got to give, you know, the two-time defending Super Bowl champion, three-time overall champion, Mahomes.
MVP, too.
I think that who's the Baltimore quarterback?
That's Lamar Jackson.
That's who's going to get MVP. But I give Mahomes the edge over Hurts. I don't want to because I think Hurts is a better athlete. But Mahomes has gotten it done. So I give them the edge in quarterback, and I give them the edge in kicker. I give the Eagles the edge in every other area.
If the game doesn't get away, you know, from either team, I think it'll be a good game.
And a lot of people think it's going to be whoever has the ball last.
It could be, or whoever doesn't turn the ball over.
But just like the Washington game, that I came out and dared to say it, that the game was not going to be close. That the Eagles,
yeah, you're right. I mean,
that game, and they did.
I mean, I was traveling and unfortunately didn't have an opportunity to really watch the game. I listened to it, but it was just, they demolished them. No doubt about it.
It was amazing.
The game was over at halftime.
I wish the game would have been last week because now it's 2 weeks because the Eagles were really onto something. We'll be right back. Don't go away. It's Chuck Malamut, and yes, he will. I promise he will talk all about financial matters. I think he'll even talk about tariffs. It's a Pocket Kreskin moment prediction, but I think he'll talk about tariffs. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go away.
Wake up weekday mornings with Hurley in the Morning.
This is the stuff we need to talk about.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, in the 1990s, USAID is a group that implicated the forced sterilization of approximately 300,000 indigenous women in Peru as part of money's launch there. The New York Post reported USAID gave nearly $1 million to Gaza, a charity there tied to Hamas, 6 days before the October 7th attack. The Biden administration repeatedly used USAID to push abortion, according to FoxNews.com, on Africa. Why are we spending billions of dollars like this? We've got to rethink all that we do. And that's what Donald Trump is doing.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Donald J. Trump is officially the next president of the United States of America. While millions of Americans are rejoicing in the victory, thousands of others are still concerned about their savings. The unfortunate truth is, we still have $35 trillion in debt. The interest on that debt is now larger than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. Plus, the wars that started under Biden are still raging across the globe. So, what can you do to help protect your savings? Many Americans are already taking action by reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering a free gold and silver kit to show you how precious metals like gold and silver could help you diversify your savings before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com. Paid for by Goldco.
Enable our skill and tell your smart speaker, play WPG. You're listening to Hurley in the Morning.
It's a source I can trust.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you. Welcome back. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Chuck, your market update, please.
So, Harry, last week equities it had a tough time. I mean, the S&P was down about 1%. The NASDAQ was down 1.6. And the big story of the week, it seems like it was a long time ago, but last Monday, the sell-off on the fears of China's deep seek, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Outperformers for the week were communication services, consumer staples. The worst performers for the week were technology and energy. So when you look at going into yesterday's open, the Dow, year-to-date was up 4.8%. The S&P was up 2.8%. NASDAQ up 1.7. International stocks actually up 5.3. Sort of the winner of the group. And best performing sectors, again, we talked about this just a couple weeks ago. Communication services still in the number one slot, so that hasn't changed from from last year. Healthcare and financials in number two and three slot, and healthcare was clearly a laggard last year. On the flip side, the bottom three, and we always talk about the Mag 7, technology, real estate, and consumer staples. The technology was the worst performing sector in the S&P 500 year to date through last Friday. Now, granted,
by the way,
it's only
been
a month.
Listening to that, that's not a good sign. That is three areas that you don't want to see not performing.
Well, look, I mean, we talked about the ongoing volatility that we were expecting to see.
What was the third one? It was technology, homes, and what?
And technology, real estate, and consumer staples.
Mm.
So this shows, Harry, that actually I don't think it's so bad because it shows that the market is kind of broadening out.
Okay.
At the end of the day.
All right,
you know,
that's good.
You know, the 493 stocks that have been ignored in the S&P 500 are now getting attention. So,
good.
You know, January in the books, you know, the indexes were, you know, they were higher for the month. The Dow, as mentioned, up 4.7%, S&P up 2.7%. So it's interesting to see the Dow being the leader. It's interesting to see that we now have we now have other leadership, you know, going forward. And it's real interesting to see that we got these foreign stocks, which were a real tough place to be in last year working. But then again, you know, the money shifts. And that's why I think it's very important that your listeners clearly understand the importance of being diversified.
You and I have talked a lot about theory of tariffs, but now they've been employed. What can you say relative to the tariffs?
So I just found it interesting. I know you and Kirk, and thank Kirk for, hopefully he's listening. I don't know. He might be sleeping.
I think he's
something.
Here.
Okay.
Switcheroo.
So, you know, yesterday morning, or let me back up, Sunday at about 6 o'clock, 6:30, that's when the futures opened. And it was, and Trump had made his announcement over the weekend. He was, you know, they were going to put these tariffs in play. Futures were down big.
Yeah.
600 plus in the Dow. NASDAQ down like 400 or 500. S&P down 150. Went to bed, woke up in the same situation. So when we opened up, you know, the impact of the tariffs kind of ricocheted across, you know, all the global markets. I mean, the futures were down about 1.6%. Oil prices, you know, rose pretty dramatically because there's sort of the fear of you're going to have a disruption to the supply. You know, car maker shares, you know, dropped, you know, Europeans and in particular. Volkswagen, you know, down big, down by 5%. You know, crypto got hammered at the same time. And so these risky assets were really, you know, quote, at risk. And you know, Trump's move, when you look at it, it's the most extensive act of protectionism taken by any U.S. president in almost a century. And the effects could potentially be from inflation to geopolitics, and we're seeing it now, and obviously economic growth. You know, Goldman Sachs basically said that there's a risk of a 5% decrease in our U.S. stock market because you might have a hit to corporate earnings. And other firms came out and they were a little more dire than that. So that was how we opened. That was in the morning, okay? Then as the day progressed, you know, what was the book, The Art of the Deal? I kept thinking about during the day was sort of the art of the deal. So, I don't know, midday, early afternoon, it was, you know, we got out of that panic mode, but recovered pretty significantly because it became clear that the White House was willing, and they did, they're going to push everything back, you know, for Mexico and China for that 30 days.
With concessions.
Yeah, exactly. So, So the Dow was down about 0.3%. S&P was down less than 1%. NASDAQ was down about 1.2%. You walked out of the office and said, well, that's actually kind of a victory compared to where we were at the beginning of the day. As I mentioned, the Dow was down over 600 points earlier in the day. Automakers, auto part distributors, beer importers, the hardest hit, and rightfully so. So, you know, I think Mexico was the first to go, right? I mean, I don't want to say they didn't roll over, but right. They said, okay, we're going to negotiate with you. We're going to give you, I mean, it's all about the fentanyl.
10,000 troops at the border.
And, you know, China, you know, shame on China for saying they have nothing to do with fentanyl. Because obviously, I think it starts there.
It does.
And then it comes to Mexico, and then it ultimately ends up here in the U.S. So
that's it.
So the volatility of the VIX, Harry, you know, that added, you know, there's a lot of volatility in the markets, and the VIX actually, you know, spiked north of 20 per share, but then it settled down at about 18.6. Anytime you're over 20, it increases the volatility, you know, within the marketplace. So, you know, China, I mean, I know I heard you this morning and I saw it as well. I don't think they're retaliating. I think they're just coming back and saying, okay, well, listen, here's what we're going to do on our side.
And then he didn't want to do it like instantly, but President Trump later this week, tomorrow or Thursday, whatever, he will speak to President Xi and they'll work it out too. Because this is negotiating tactics. I've always maintained that. That's what this is. Because if you remember, it was Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro came out, and he used to be the U.S. trade rep, and now he has a different financial position with this White House, but very loyal executive under Trump. And he came out and said that this is about all the things that you mentioned, Chuck, the fentanyl trade, and that's what this is really about.
You think for sure? I mean, do you think China's going to roll over?
I don't know that they'll roll over, but if you go back past this prologue, and if you go back to the first Trump term, Trump slapped the tariffs on China. China then promised, if you remember at the time, don't quote me on the amount, because this is just product knowledge, but I wasn't necessarily ready to make this comment. But I think China agreed to make like $300 billion worth of investment in America, and Trump took the tariffs off, and then the pandemic happened. So it never got fulfilled. So this is exactly what happened last time.
Okay. Well, look.
They'll work it out.
I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, every second counts, but obviously, you know, I think a lot of people are going to get hurt by these tariffs, Harry. I think there'll be some increased pricing. There's no doubt about it. But it's the right. I think it's something that we need to do here.
Well, only for the record,
to control
the
drug
moment,
traffic.
Yes, for the record and for the moment, only the Chinese tariffs went into effect.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Colombia didn't. Mexico didn't. Canada didn't. And I know we did it purposely with China because we're trying to get our mojo back with them. So I think he had to be tougher with them than he did the other countries. We'll be right back, already halftime break. Much more with Chuck Malamut right after this. To reach Chuck for all of your financial planning needs, call 609-383-2010. Programming note, we will be filling in today, guest hosting the entire Brian Kilmeade show. So you are stuck with me straight through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. The second half of Early in the Morning is coming up, so don't miss that. And then I will be back right after that with the Brian Kilmeade Show.
This is the Town Square, New Jersey Info and Weather Network.
30 minutes past the hour with Chuck Malamut, Harry Hurley. Three stories that you can follow on our WPG Talk Radio 95.5 app. An allegation by John Devlin about Marty Small. Check that out. My Opinion editorial that Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts will finally get the respect that he's due this Sunday at Super Bowl 59. And this piece I loved writing about Philadelphia. Well, one of them, Chuck knows, knew, he passed away, knew very, very well.
Calm.
From the Townsquare, New Jersey Info and Weather Network, I'm Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow. Temperatures are on the mild side this morning, well above freezing, but that will not last much longer as winter rears its ugly head again soon enough. Mostly sunny with a cold wind today, gusting to 20 or 30 miles an hour. Temperature around 47 midday, then they'll start to tumble. Increasing clouds tonight, low of 24, only 35 tomorrow. Cloudy skies, snow shower at any time, more widespread icy mix tomorrow night. Get weather 24-7 wherever you are. Download our free mobile app today.
Locally owned and operated.
Your home for Hurley in the Morning and me, Sean Hannity, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hurley in the Morning.
They always have great conversation.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour with Chuck Malamud, Hurley in the Morning. Chuck is at a special time today.
Harry, I have an extra hour to my day. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, I'm always here to help for you. I've always been there for you. So you're now going to tell us about this DeepSeek, which I think a lot of people thought would have legs, but it really only turned out to be like a one-day event, didn't it?
Yeah, but here's what you got to think about. I think it's very important. I mean, it was a week ago Monday, Harry, and the NASDAQ, you know, got absolutely rocked. Mm-hmm. And you think about it, and we talked about, you know, we talked about Magnificent Seven, and we talked about the concentration of because the S&P 500 is a market capitalized index. So a company like NVIDIA got absolutely
hammered,
demolished. So DeepSeek has taken the evolution of AI to a new level. They have a cheaper language learning model, and the development, if it is true, Harry, you know, does disrupt the status quo of AI and should speed up the proliferation of AI and the realization of these, you know, associated productivity gains. But last Monday, you know, DeepSeek, you know, hit semiconductors and other tech, as well as these nuclear power stocks that have done very, very well. Think about it. NVIDIA fell 17%, Harry, the biggest one-day loss ever, $600 billion. You take, you know, some large companies that make up the S&P 500 and you combine them, they don't, $600 billion, Harry, is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, the good news is the market held up relatively well in spite of NVIDIA and his semiconductors. So it was down about 1.5% for the day. The Dow actually was up 0.7% that day. And the VIX, you know, again, got close to 20 as well. So, I mean, what I don't understand, I think they invested $6 million. Is that correct? In DeepSeek?
Yes.
So you invest $6 million and you have better, you know, technology for AI, and you cost another company $600 billion?
Disproportionate to reality.
It just doesn't, I mean, so you kind of scratch your head and say, well, is this for real? I mean, and the chairman
seemed irrational to me, the whole event.
The chairman of NVIDIA was very complimentary of DeepSeek, you know, because I guess didn't want to get
the high road.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. You know, I think we'll know over time if this is, you know, for real or not.
But it had one day where it really took a bite.
Listen, last Monday was not a particularly great day in the market, and then we were kind of faced with that again just yesterday in the morning. The market was down. I looked last night, the market, you know, was up somewhat, but right now we're down. Last time I looked, Harry, we're down just fractions. I mean, it's not down anything to speak of.
You are listening to Chuck Malamud talking all about your financial matters, Fed and rates and central banks. What's everybody doing?
So, Harry, as you know, last week the Fed met. They had their meeting, and they left the target rate unchanged between 4.25% and 4.5%.
So which they telegraphed would be the case.
They did. So the pause was expected. You know, U.S. inflation is above that 2% target. The Feds right now, they're willing to take a sort of that wait-and-see approach, you know, with respect to upcoming economic policies. Now, the Bank of Canada and the ECB both cut their policy rates, Harry, last week by 25 basis points to 3% and 2.75%, respectfully. You know, despite the persistent inflation that we've seen and some growth concerns in Europe, they decided they're going to make that cut anyway. You know, with Bank of Canada, their decision was a result of inflation and expectations have been somewhat moderated. So, I mean, we're hearing now one to two cuts this year. But anything goes. You just don't know. I mean, the geopolitical risks are certainly out there. I think you're going to have volatility in the marketplace. And then ultimately, I think the Fed's going to react or overreact.
And mortgage rates are still over 7%?
Yeah, Harry, they are. I mean, when you look right now, it's just, I don't quite understand this. When you look at U.S. New home sales, mm-hmm. for the month of December, they increased by 3.6% to about just shy of an annualized rate of 700,000. That's actually 6.7% greater than we were just last December of 2023. The median sales price, you know, did increase to 427,000 despite an increase in inventory. But when you go back and you look at what's happening with these surging mortgage rates and these very, very high prices, you know, the affordability is significantly lower over the last 5 years compared to where we were, say, like in 2019. You know, the annual household income required to purchase a new home today and pay property taxes and insurance, you need to earn a minimum $107,000.
It's incredible. And hope you have no education debt.
Now, when you compare that to where we were 5 years ago, Harry, that has doubled.
So your data tells you, Chuck, this is the most difficult it has been ever to afford a house.
Yeah, I mean, Harry, 33% of U.S. households earned enough to cover those costs in the last third quarter 2024. That's down almost 67% from where we were 5 years ago.
And here's another cruel thing. Rents are unbelievable.
Exactly. Rents are sky high as well.
I mean, I saw a tiny little place, and the amount of money they're going to get for it is unbelievable. It's going to really leave people where, and I hear younger people talking about it all the time, they can't afford to buy a home.
Yeah, and you look at you, if and that kind of, you know, takes us right into the next thing I wanted to talk to you about. You know, consumer confidence, you know, for the month of December declined to 104.1. It was 109.5. So the consumer, I think, is starting to feel it a little bit. But you go out to restaurants and they're busy.
They're busy. Yeah.
I mean, I did some traveling last week, Harry. That's why I couldn't spend time with you and your listeners. And I was in the middle of the country and, you know, grabbing some dinner at places, and they're packed midweek. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, I want to say people got to eat. now, there's a lot of ways you could go about that, but people do enjoy going out and enjoying a fine meal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a social experience. I mean, you have an opportunity to go to, like, Capriccio, and who's going to turn that down? Some other nice spots. Stephen Cookies in Margate. I highly recommend the seafood pan roast.
Well, I will tell you, where I was traveling, they didn't have those types of restaurants.
Okay, I got you. That's funny.
I'll call it tier two if that works.
That's fine. Okay. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, Chuck is going to share fourth quarter earnings news and more as Chuck Malama continues talking to you all about financial matters. You can reach Chuck and his team, Mike and Frank and Kristen and Lauren, at 609-383-2010. 609-383-2010. 10. Back with Chuck Malamut right after this.
You're listening to Hurley in the Morning.
Mays Landing.
I'm from Mullica Township.
Listen at home or in the office on your smart speaker. Just say, play WPG.
HD.
Ocean City.
Hurley in the Morning on South Jersey's talk station. WPG. Talk Radio 95.5. Hurley in the Morning. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. You're waking up with Hurley in the Morning.
I'm looking for trustworthy news.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
We are back at 47 minutes past the hour with Chuck Malamut talking all about your financial matters. And we're going to talk now, or Chuck is going to talk now, about fourth quarter 2024 earnings news.
Harry, we have about 40% of the constituents that make up the S&P 500 that have reported. We have a big week this week. I think 25% of the S&P reports this week. And the blended earnings per share are up about 13% compared to where we were just the same quarter a year ago. But a lot of the strategists are saying, okay, well, that's great. How are we going to do for the rest of the year? And that's always when we always kind of refer to as sleeping with one eye open. We haven't had any major surprises, Harry, you know, to the downside, which I think is, you know, which is good news so far.
Chuck, unemployment and the January jobs report.
So, Harry, as you know, every Thursday morning, there's the report of weekly jobless claims comes out. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, initial jobless claims, you know, rose by about 6,000 to about 223,000. And that kind of put a fair amount of pressure on unemployment, particularly those that are that have lost their job and are looking to get a new job. And, you know, Friday, God, you know, time flies, Harry. It's crazy.
I know.
You know, so Friday, the Bureau of Labor Statistics are going to put their January report out. And the economists are expecting a growth of about 165,000 non-farm payrolls. And the expectation is that the unemployment rate is going to stay at, remain at 4.1%. Today, the JOLTS comes. I think it comes later today. That's the job openings and labor turnover survey. I know that's going to Kirk's favorite.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Harry, I know that the one thing to remember that this January jobs report, every job report we get is actually through the second week, the middle
right.
of the month.
Right.
So it's not
yeah.
what has happened from January 16 on.
Right.
And
it's important to know.
And the stats, I mean, the numbers have been pretty lumpy. And they just have been, we've seen last year where just big misses on the upside and the downside. So it's anybody's guess how accurate this number is going to be.
Chuck, and it's 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I have been waiting to get to this question because I want to put a wrinkle into it. The S&P 500 returns in the first year of a new president. One of my favorite times with Chuck is when you bring historical evidence into play about what has happened in this year and these types of things, and if you spend 7 days out, what could have happened to your portfolio, all these things. But I submit, is this the first year of a new president, or is this the second term?
Well,
how do you like that?
I don't know. Harry, point well taken, but
he is new.
He is the new president.
But you get what I'm saying.
I hear you. So Harry, the S&P has produced positive returns in the first year of a new president, 9 out of the past 10 times that has happened.
So over
the last 40 years, think about it. It's like it doesn't much matter. Hasn't much mattered.
It just happens.
If it was somebody from the left or the right, but it has just happened.
Yeah.
And as January goes, typically that's how the market goes. And if we talked about
for the whole year,
as we talked about earlier today. As it turns out, we had a really good January in the S&P and the Dow. So
good.
So we'll see if it holds true for the rest of the year.
All right. So we know because we go to the School of Malamut, we know about the Magnificent Seven, and we know all these things. And we now know that others are performing, and it's not just the reliance on the Mag 7. But what are the underlying catalysts of the current? And we are in a bull market, right?
We are. We are. On, we are. in a bull market right now, Harry. That is absolutely for sure. So when you think about what has happened and what we believe will continue to happen, we've had a pretty resilient economy, although the GDP numbers, I don't know why you had the fourth reading of GDP, but anyway, those numbers are really pretty good. We've had a strong job market. We've talked about the productivity, ongoing productivity of AI, and, you know, and investor sentiment, as you know, is, you know, really did very, very, was very, very strong right after the election. So those are pretty much, you know, what has happened so far. And, you know, going forward, that's what we believe is going to happen, you know, into the future.
How do we stack up against the world?
You know, Harry, I found this pretty interesting. What percentage, you're a pretty smart guy.
Thank you.
What percentage of our population represents what percentage of the population worldwide?
Ooh, this is tough for me. All right, so we know China is huge. And I'm going to say that we are in about the 360, 370 million range.
All right.
10%.
Four.
I was going to say five.
Four. So we represent 4% of our world population, but 26% of GDP, 31% of household wealth.
Disproportionate.
61% of the most valuable companies, you know, in the world. So think about, as you said, the wealth that is concentrated here, you know, in our country versus other countries. It's pretty incredible.
Good, good. I'll always remember that now. Mm-hmm. It takes a little bit of gumption to say the price of eggs way too expensive.
Before we get there, I got breaking news for you.
Okay, because I know you're getting texted. I saw you.
No, so there's an absolute standstill on the expressway.
Oh, really?
You know, heading east, milepost 26.5.
Chuck, thank you. Was it an accident?
I have no idea what's going on out there.
Thank you for that.
But, you know,
you're breaking news.
I feel like you for about 30 seconds.
I enjoyed that. I've never had anybody do that before in all these years.
So all your listeners that are heading from Philadelphia, you know, just beware of what's going on out there.
So it's coming east.
Coming east, correct.
Well, yeah. And mile marker 25, you said?
26.5.
26.5.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you can do a little investigation.
Yeah. I will.
So now that I completely disrupted you.
This is good. We're going to go back to the price of eggs. Way too expensive.
Way too expensive. So
bird flu.
We had inflation. Egg prices are expected to increase by about 20% this year. You know, versus general food prices up about 2.2%.
You know what I thought was really fair, Chuck? This is just be a little quick sidebar, very, very quick. When the legacy media questioned President Trump about why he hadn't lowered the price of eggs on his fourth day in office.
He's been, what, there 2 weeks now?
2 weeks now, but yeah. This was on day four.
Okay, well.
J.D. Vance said, it's the fourth day.
I'm trying to find my way to the restroom.
That's too much.
So anyway, so you had bird flu, you had inflation, egg prices again. You're going to probably go about 20% this year versus about 2.2% for food prices in general. Harry, bird flu killed 17.2 million egg-laying hens during the last 2 months of last year. So the average price of a dozen large grade A eggs was $4.15 in December, and that was up from $4.15, Harry, versus $3.65. The previous November. So you can see.
That was smooth.
You know, thanks. I did such a great job and I just blew it. So.
No, I get it though. That's a big increase. And because Chuck is into cornball today, millennials can have their avocado toast and eat it too.
So
where do avocados come from, Chuck?
Avocados come from Mexico along with tequila. So
yes.
I guess you got to, you know, figure out something else you're going to do here.
Yeah.
So, Harry, even though we went through the Great Recession, millennials have done very well financially. For those that were born between 1982 and 1996, they have more wealth, Harry, compared to previous generations at the same age, especially their wealth quadrupled from 2019 to 2022.
Wow. By the way, guest listener Jeff texted in that he paid $6 for a dozen eggs this past Sunday.
Okay.
So that's getting crazy. Super Bowl commercials, the dough that Fox is getting for them is unbelievable. But evidently, they haven't sold all that many, it seems.
Well,
like $7 million a piece or something?
Yeah, so a 30-second ad at the Super Bowl, Harry, is now a little bit more than $7 million. That's kind of mirrored the race that we've seen over the last 2 years. Advertisers paid between $6.5 and $7 million for 30 seconds.
Gosh.
But, you know, you think about it. The 2024 Super Bowl drew a record-breaking 123.7 million viewers across television and streaming platforms. Think about it, 120.
Amazing.
And there's, you know, that's one-third of our country,
think,
right?
Yeah, that's right. Are you think? Well, that's worldwide, too.
Yeah,
though,
but I'm
right?
saying, but think but yeah, about but our, is, our country's population.
Yeah, it's true. Even a little more. Is it true that, I mean, I just read yesterday and even early this morning that the tickets to go to the Super Bowl
insane
are coming down, though.
Really? I heard they were, like, through the roof.
They were, but now they're coming, I guess because you get closer to the game, they want to sell them. But they're coming down. You can get a ticket right now for $3,000.
Boy, why aren't you not taking me?
Because, I will take you. But that actually has come way down, so they say. Speaking of can you afford a Disney vacation?
So, Harry, I know you're a big Disney guy, and we've kind of talked about this off air with respect to, you know, why you go and how come you. But that's a story for another day. But, you know, Disney vacations are now more of a luxury item than a quote unquote, you know, affordable vacation. Their base ticket prices increased 9 times faster than inflation in the last decade. And that doesn't include these add-on services like the skip the line,
lightning lane,
and the airport shuttles. So
they don't even have that anymore. It took it away.
Okay. So 50 years ago, Harry, a family of four could visit for a single day. Today's dollar is $262, okay, versus today single day admission for a family would cost $766.
Yeah,
family of four.
Depending on the day, it can be $200 for a pass for a day.
Insane.
It's totally, totally crazy. Out of control. Next time, we'll talk about teenagers and ChatGPT. This program, typically Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock hour, presented and sponsored by Chuck Malamut. Chuck, thanks for coming an hour
early.
Real
quick, what's your prediction?
Eagles by 10 to 14 points.
Whoa, all right.